We're joined by Bruce Williamson, spokesman for Rail Future. Good evening, Bruce.
Good evening.
So, renationalisation, is that the solution to not having people trained to go through tunnels?
No. I mean, there is no quick fix or magic bullet here.
Well, now, before you say that, how about we train these people to go through tunnels?
Indeed, that'll be good. I mean, it's not just tunnels, it's all about the whole route and the train and everything, and that, that comes down to a lack of management competence in running the railway and having the train drivers available in time to drive the train.
It seems relatively essential.
What, sorry?
It seems relatively essential, organising it so that a driver would be at the front of the train.
Having enough trains and drivers. These are sort of pretty fundamental issues about running a railway. One of the problems we have with the privatised railway as it stands is that it's fragmented. There are many different franchisees and, you know, probably thousands of people and organisations that act as kind of middlemen and contractors and God knows what. So, that complexity isn't great for sort of making the railway easy to manage. And our organisation, many years ago, when privatisation was first mooted, argued that if you were going to privatise, it would be better to have one whole British Rail PLC, and then you get those sort of economies of scale and an integrated whole, which we don't have at the moment.
I'm throwing out a theory here, then. See if you like this as a theory. The reason why they like to keep things fragmented is so that when you get a strike, you get it on just Southern Rail, which causes a problem in that area, but then not on other areas, whereas in the old days, you have a rail strike, it was a national rail strike.
I think there's probably some truth in that. I mean, obviously, you know, the Conservatives tend not to be the friends of the trade unions, and they're the ones who brought in privatisation. And that's probably one of the reasons they did it. But I think it is, you know, it was probably also for ideological reasons. I mean, this is the problem. We have, you know, ideology on both sides. You know, Labour want to renationalise for ideological reasons, and the Conservatives want to privatise everything for ideological reasons, rather than having an intelligent adult debate about what sort of structure would provide the best railway.
Is there any sort of compromise? It seems like the oddest question ever. Is there any halfway house between renationalisation and privatisation?
Well, yeah, we have it at the moment. I mean, remember that Network Rail is effectively privatised. It's a company with no shareholders. It's sort of owned by the state. And also the East Coast Main Line has failed as a franchise three times and has had to be bailed out by what's effectively a nationalised company that's running the trains, while the private sector has decided that it couldn't do it. So, you know, it's happening, it's doable, there is a halfway house. And, you know, while we have a sort of halfway house, that sort of allows us an intelligent analysis of what works well. It could do, you know, if anyone cared about it. We could say, well, look, you know, East Coast nationalised, West Coast privatised, who's got the best performance? Who's giving best value for money? Who's got the best safety record? Those sorts of things.
If you're saying that we need to have some sort of East Coast versus West Coast battle, not again.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't like to put it in terms of a battle, because I don't think that's very helpful. But yeah, you know, an intelligent comparison, rather than, again, just, you know, this sort of tub-thumping, ideologically driven, you know, private is best, public is best, without actually, you know, having an intelligent debate.
I'm thinking more Snoop Dogg type situations. Oh, we get Snoop Dogg.
I was thinking a dance-off.
Oh, right. East Coast, West Coast. It was.
Who would win?
Well, not Tupac. Too soon?
Yeah.
Too soon.
The one that is effectively, I mean, the two things here would be, if we've got one area that is now almost renationalised because there's no franchise that can deal with it. So actually what we need is some sort of greater failure across the network if we want to see it become back into national hands.
Yes, but I think even the most hardcore fans of renationalisation wouldn't argue that that's the best way to do it. There is a third way as well, which is happening on, Southern and Thames Link. I reserve the right to be wrong on this, but certainly some of the franchises, the state sector is taking the financial risk, and the train operating company is just operating the trains, but they're not making the profit and or loss from the ticket sales. And, you know, I think that's actually something that, that has a lot more scope, because if you're asking the private sector to take less risk financially and just provide a steady service, then I think that would provide better value for money. Because if you ask the public, the private sector to take a risk, which obviously they do when they run a franchise, they simply price that risk in, and it bumps up the cost of the franchise. Economists would explain this better to you, but you know, it all comes down to whether the state can borrow money cheaper than the private sector, which it can. Blah 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 blah. Let's save that for another day.
Well, before the blast kicked in, that seemed to be like the most important part of this debate of nationalisation versus privatisation.
It is. I mean, it's something I suppose I'm fudging it, because I'm not an absolute expert on this. I'm on slightly more shaky ground.
No, but you're in good company. In terms of talking without expertise.
A government can just print money, whereas a private sector company has to actually go to shareholders and say, look, we want this money and this is what we promise in return. And that they, you know, it's obviously a lot more expensive way of doing it. So that's why sort of investment driven by the state, I think, is tends to be cheaper.
And what do you think the odds are, as much as people start speaking of renationalisation, what do you think the probability is that it's going to actually happen?
Again, slightly above my pay grade, because this is not about, it's not a rail issue, it's a political issue. So you need to speak to the bookmakers and the pundits. Who's going to win the next election? How long will it be until the Conservative government collapses? And so on. Because you can be pretty confident that under the Conservatives, it's going to stay privatised. And I think there's a very good chance that if Jeremy Corbyn becomes Prime Minister, they will be renationalised. So it's a political bet rather than a rail industry bet that you're talking about there.
Right.
Can I ask a question? If renationalisation did occur, do you think that ticket prices would then come down, or would they be staying the same? You know, it's extortionate now to get a train, and the ticketing, the way that that it's run, is quite complicated. You never know whether you're off peak or on peak. So could you see nationalisation making things like that clearer and possibly making train travel more affordable again?
Well, you make two very good points, and both of those are things that we campaign on at Rail Future. You know, the overall level of fares is way too high, and the ticket system is incredibly complex. Mm. But the overall level of fares is driven, you know, not really by the privatised railway, but by the Department for Transport. You know, the government sets the train fares every year through regulated fares, and when the train companies have to follow suit. And if we renationalised the railway, we would still have the same trains run by the same drivers, you know, to more or less the same timetable. But if you got rid of this complexity and fragmentation, then there might be scope for reducing costs in the industry overall, which might, in the long term, result in slightly lower fares. But it's very much definitely in the hands of the government, whether it's privatised or whether it's nationalised.
Mm. So when it comes to if there is a change of national government, times may be changing. But
indeed, yeah.
Bruce, can you stay with us for a second? I've got some more questions to ask about this new timetable. We need to take a quick break. We'll be back in a sec answering the question, should we be thinking of renationalising the railways? Your thoughts are... Love Sport, Steve and Amanda reviewing the news. We're joined by Bruce Williamson, a spokesman for Rail Future. So we've talked about renationalisation or keeping it in the private sector. And the reason that we started to think about this was because of the new timetable change, which has not gone well. So, Bruce, I just wanted your take on that. The times are changing thing. How did it manage to become such a mess?
I think it's a combination of incompetence and errors and sort of groupthink on many people's parts. I mean, you know, we've been consistently blaming... There's no one culprit here. Chris Grayling has been blaming the industry and passing the buck, but his department is to blame for implementing or allowing a new timetable to go ahead, for allowing an ill-equipped franchisee to win the franchise. Network Rail have failed to deliver on various bits of infrastructure. The train operating companies themselves have been less than perfect in the way they've managed this. And, you know, running a railway is immensely complicated, and there are so many sort of pieces of the jigsaw that have to fit together that when, you know, when a few things go wrong, when a few things aren't in place in time, that has so many sort of knock-on effects, and that, you know, it's going to take a long time to sort out, I think.
Was there a lot of need for this change? Because I got to admit, I personally, and in speaking with my neighbours, never once had the thought, oh, I wish there was a direct train to Luton from where I live.
No, no, it isn't change for change's sake. This is reflecting, you know, it should have been a good news story. This is all good stuff, in theory at least, because it's about putting new routes in. And even if you don't want a particular route, you know, other people do. And generally where you introduce a new rail service, people use it. You know, it's actually a story that we like to tell a lot, you know, because we're called Rail Future. We want, you know, more routes, more opportunities, more choice for the rail passenger. And also we want less congested trains. And so introducing new trains, longer platforms, et cetera, et cetera. All of these things need to be accommodated, which means you've got to rejig the timetable and rejig so many other things. So, you know, it is necessary. It's just a pity that it's turned out so horribly wrong on this occasion.
I'm still not really sure if I need a direct train to Luton, but also the flip side of that is I'm not sure I want more people from Luton coming to where I live.
See, that's technically racist, what you're saying there, isn't it, I think?
Technically.
Good people of Luton.
I'm still reeling from the fact that Steve just said he speaks to his neighbours.
Yeah, that's not true.
I don't think that's true at all. I could see that a mile off.
This whole thing is just made up. So, how long do you think it will be? I'm getting into crystal ball again, Bruce. Yeah. How long will it be until we can actually just sort out this timetable situation?
Well, I think we're looking at a few months it's going to take. One of the problems, as you're probably aware, is a shortage of drivers who haven't been trained up to use the new trains or to use to learn the routes. So obviously you can't just recruit a new driver at the drop of the hat and say, there's your train, off you go. And also it requires management to manage the training of the drivers, and it needs trained drivers to train up the new drivers. And, you know, it's just such a horrible tangled web.
So, how long does it take to train a train driver to be able to do everything, to go through tunnels and drive?
I mean, I don't honestly have an answer to that, but I mean, you know, the train driver learning a route, for instance, would be, you know, the same as you learning a cross-country journey by car, I suppose, without a map and sat-nav.
Right.
So, you know, it's going to take a few weeks or a few trips up and down and maybe some classroom learning. Again, it's slightly above my expertise because,
yeah,
believe it or not, I've never driven a train myself. I can't comment on that. Sounds like fun.
I love the idea that it's not just about sitting, that you have to be shown by someone else. So you need trained train drivers to train the train drivers.
Indeed you do, yeah. Yeah, there's a mouthful for you.
I know what you mean about the cross-country learning the route, but when you're driving across country in a car, you're not attached to the rails.
No.
So it's got to be a bit easier.
Mm.
Well, yeah, but there are things like speed limits and stopping distances, and you know, imagine you may have sort of stuck your head out the window as you approach a large station, and there's a whole load of flashing lights and signals. You've got to know which ones apply to you. I mean, you know, it's analogous to learning to drive a car. You know, the various road signs and rules of the roads take some time to learn, and even if you're a good trained driver, for a new route, you've got a lot to learn, I think, before you're sort of familiar and confident with it.
Okay. Well, I mean, let's hope that at some point it will all sort itself out. At some point, all the train drivers will be used to train the train drivers, and then I'll be able to get to Luton. To apologise.
I'm sure you have a great time in Luton as well.
A great reception awaits you, Steve.
Probably gigging there soon. Oh, things are going to get thrown. Bruce, thank you very much for that. That's Bruce Williamson, a spokesman for Rail Future, talking about the renationalisation of the rail network. Is that a good idea?